Can we take Jesus' words seriously? That he will give to us hearts flowing with living water? Why not? For our church picnic sermon this Sunday, I'm going to bring you some poetry about rivers of living water from various places in and around us. Rivers that can remind us how we're all connected through God's Spirit. Leonardo da Vinci, the famous artist and genius, put it like this: in rivers, the water that you touch is the last of what has passed and the first of that which comes. So with present time. End quote. In other words, when we live in the moment, we can recognize that we are water, just like a river. 2/3 of our body is water. Anyway, and we can recognize when we live in the moment that this water is the last of what has passed and the first of that which comes. Every river connects. All waters flow together, even those within us. To the living Spirit, we are like any river, distinct, unique, irreplaceable, and at the same time truly one, united, flowing together. Norman MacLean, the University of Chicago professor of English and author of the memoir, also a movie called A River Runs Through It, put it like this: eventually, all things merge into one, and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over rocks from the basement of time. On some of the rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks are the words, and the words are theirs. I am haunted by waters. People everywhere have been haunted by waters throughout time. There are sacred rivers like the liquid Shakti, or female energy of the Ganges. Or there is the faithful wife Oya, otherwise known as the River Niger. There is New Zealand's Whanganui River, which is a living, breathing ancestor to the local Maori. In 2017, it became the first river in the world to be granted the same legal rights as a human being. There is the Urubamba in today's Peru, running past Machu Picchu, which the Incas thought was a direct reflection of the Milky Way, a celestial river known as Mayu, whose waters watered the sky. There is the Nile, the Amazon, and this river, the Pigeon. This water is sacred. In Africa, Asia, the Americas, Europe, and the Middle East, I found stories of waters that preceded humans, preceded life, and from which life came. The Bible practically drips. Water or waters appear 694 times in 620 verses, as seas, rivers, and streams, and wells, cisterns, jars, bodies, and more. Creation begins in waters in the Bible, in both versions of the story, in a truth that transcends time. In the first creation story, in the book of Genesis, we hear about the boundless deep, the wild Tehom, upon which the Spirit of God moved. In the second creation story, there are four rivers that come together around the Garden of Delight, which is what Eden means. The rivers Pishon, Gihon, Tigris, and the Euphrates. Every river is different, but they all represent our biological origin and a sensual delight, a collective and personal Eden. I'm here at Haman Falls on the Embarrass River. The Embarrass is a tributary of the Wolf River. Its name was given to it by the French, for whom the word embarrassed doesn't mean I'm ashamed. It's a noun meaning obstacle. The river was, in the 17th century, and is today, often clogged with fallen logs or boulders. The power of this water is as impressive as it is beautiful. Right now it's flowing at over 1,000 cubic feet per second, according to American Whitewater. And that power of water in movement is why the prophet Amos used it as a metaphor for the way of Torah, the way of justice, which trumps, any pious and solemn assemblies we might imagine in this era of so-called sacrifice. So hear these words of Amos. I hate, I despise your festivals, says the Lord, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This water is sacred.
And it all comes back here for us, doesn't it? This water is sacred. We don't baptize as some sort of magic act to wash away sin, although there are Christians who think that way. We baptize as a reminder that God's grace is like water. It flows over and around and through, uniting us, strengthening us, giving us life. God's grace is like water. God's grace is in water. We drink water, wash with water, clean with water, bathe in water, swim in water, sweat water, are born in water. Water takes endless shapes and forms. As my mentor, Martin Marty, put it in a book on baptism, there is mist, dew, droplet, rain, torrent, rivulet, brook, creek, river, whirlpool. There is lake, and most of all, the boundless depths of the sea. Water produces power, cleanliness, life. It can be evaporated, frozen, changed. End quote. Water teems with energy. We baptize children because they are beloved. They represent new life. Children point us to the flow that comes after us. Or as Congregationalist minister Henry Ward Beecher put it in the 19th century, nearly 150 years ago, love is the river of life in the world. Through Jesus and the gift of the Spirit, God's creative and loving power brings us into community and washes us daily, each moment, for a new beginning. Forgiveness is as real as the water with which we wash every day. as we forgive others and wash away their sins with our own acts of love and mercy. To those who believe through the Spirit, God is a river of living water flowing through our hearts, carrying us all through whatever worries we have, wiping away our petty attachments, flowing with power toward justice. These rivers of living water, we might imagine, are the everlasting arms of a loving God. So, what have we to dread? What have we to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And all God's people say, Amen.